today's sermon is Light and Life. And you had the story read earlier, and today I've got three different parables to talk about. And it's really important to remember that Jesus talked about one thing more than anything else, and any other topic, and that was the kingdom of God. He talked about the kingdom a lot. And there are principles to this kingdom, just like there are principles where you work, or rules, or ways of doing things. God has ways of doing things that are a whole lot different than our ways. And what is so sad is that Pastor and I have seen so many churches that try to do God's way, God's work, man's way. It doesn't work, right? It's a whole lot more fun, and a whole lot more joyful, and a whole lot more powerful, a whole lot more energizing to do it God's way and be propelled by His strength and His glory and His might than try to do it your own way. In the jail, we see it over and over and over again, how God just pours out His Spirit, and we just let the Lord go in that jail first and lead, and man, the hearts are ready to hear that good news of the gospel, and it is so awesome. So Jesus talked a lot about the kingdom, but people didn't get it. So Jesus would use parables, which is what I was taught in Sunday school, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So He used illustrations, like we still do today. Use illustrations common to mankind and try to illustrate an invisible, spiritual, hidden, mysterious reality. So here we go. Jesus talks about it. And He thinks about something very important in those days, even more than today, because we take it for granted. You turn on a light switch and there's lights at night. Well, in these days, the Bible, it wasn't that easy, was it? It took a lot of effort, and so it was a big deal to make sure you had your lamps burning when you needed them. To have enough olive oil pressed and ready to go, to have your candle and your lamps ready to go, so that when it got dark, you weren't going, oh, well, now what do I do? And caught in the dark. And a lot of us have been caught in the spiritual darkness, unawares. Things happen we never imagined we would be doing, and we ended up in places we never imagined we'd end up in. We go, how did I get here in this mess of darkness? But the good news is Jesus Christ is the light of the world, right? And there's no darkness so great that can't be overcome by the light of Jesus. Amen? And we know that not just by some preacher talk. We know that from experience, right? So Jesus says, you bring in a lamp, put it under a bowl or a bed? Well, no. You have a lamp, you go, well, let's just put this under the bed or under a table. What's the purpose? You set it up high so that there's light all around, right? Obviously. For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. What is he saying? If you've got the light, let it shine. Don't hide the light. People are making fun of you because your light's shining and they're looking at you weird. So what? Right? What matters is that you let your light shine. Remember the old song, this little gospel light of mine, I'm going to let it shine? What do we say? Hide it under a bushel, yes?
No.
We yell it out. The kids, the adults, right? Hide it under a bushel, no. I'm going to let it shine. Right? All around the neighborhood, I'm going to let it shine. Don't you try to poof this out. I'm going to let it shine. Jesus is the light, and He shines in our hearts with an incredible brightness and light that no one else can match. And the enemies of the gospel are finding that out in amazing ways in dreams and visions. This is Jesus talks about, He says, I'm the light of the world. He talks about all through the scriptures, follow me. And when we follow and walk in Jesus and accept His death for our sins and His glorious resurrection, we have the light of Jesus Christ inside us. Have you ever felt God inside you? Right? You feel His presence, right? There's nothing better than that presence. Drug addicts would give anything to have that kind of high. And they, when they experience it, go, I want this all the time. And there's no withdrawals. It doesn't have any harmful effects. It's amazing, the light of Jesus. What it does to our lives, and people see it in us, right? And they see Jesus in us. And as I said, even the enemies taking notes. I just found out a couple days ago that an ISIS terrorist had a vision of Jesus. Amazing. Yeah. He was set to continue killing, and just like Saul had a vision, Jesus stopped him dead in his tracks and said, "Why are you killing my people?" Yeah, what was right? And now he's following Christ. I don't know where he's going to live. He's going to have to change addresses real quick, I would imagine. Change names, change everything, right? But isn't that amazing? It's unbelievable, but it's true. And get this. Muslims who don't believe in Jesus are saying this about military strategy. They're not counting on the United States to beat ISIS. They're counting on Jesus. Muslims are saying that Jesus is going to come and conquer ISIS. Now, they don't acknowledge him as Lord and Savior, but they're saying he's going to have to do battle. He's going to conquer ISIS. Wow, from the Muslim community. Wow. Just the other day, we watched a movie about people living in a homosexual lifestyle and accepting and getting visions from Jesus out of nowhere and finding the love that they craved all along in a person, Jesus Christ. An amazing testimony that blew us away. Wednesday, I tried to get our people to talk. None of us could talk. We were so blown away by the testimony, right? We just kind of go, struggle. Wow. What's your feedback? Wow. And that's all I can say. When Jesus shows up, not religion, when he shows up, sometimes we're speechless, right? We just say, wow. So we are called to let our light so shine before men, this Bible says, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Another story. Kristen Powers is a very famous reporter on a very well-known news channel. And she's been brought up in a very liberal environment, a very worldly paradigm, certainly not a Bible paradigm, a biblical paradigm. And that's the last thing in the world she'd want to do is follow Christ. Well, she was dating a guy who's a Christian. And this is a switch. The guy's saying this to the gal. Said, if you want to be in a serious relationship with me, it's going to be a problem because I'm a Christian. And this is a non-negotiable item. So I'm praying for you. This liberal reporter says, yeah. And she's going in her merry little way beyond TV and everything else. Jesus appeared to her and said, here I am. I know. Wow. Oh, again, another wow. That's amazing. Yeah. Huh? I don't know how recent, fairly recent. And she's walking around in New York City in a daze because she's just seen Jesus. And she said, well, I could do anything except biblical Christianity with all the rules and regulations. There's no way I get involved with that. Well, here she is. She's got a vision with Jesus. She's stumbling around New York City in a daze because she's feeling God everywhere. She can't go anywhere in New York City. She's trying to kind of run away from it, but kind of liked it because it was a loving presence. But also she's kind of like, she's looking over her shoulder with God everywhere. She goes to a church with a very astute pastor, Pastor Keller, who is an apologist, who knows all the intellectual arguments against Christianity, and very lovingly knocks them all down. So her premise that Christians are all stupid and ignorant, didn't know anything, that was shot down by this pastor. She's going through New York City, and she says his presence was everywhere. And now she's finding that light more and more, and her soon-to-be husband is absolutely ecstatic how God's work, his prayers. Thanks be to God. The light is shining and it's getting brighter. Isn't that cool? Brighter and brighter and brighter. Just this past week, I've been going through a crisis of my own, a couple of them, with my father, his eye doctor calling me from Illinois saying, your father can't drive anymore, and I'm trying to think, what am I going to do about it? And he had his car. God bless the eye doctor. He sent a taxi to take my dad 40 miles home to leave the car there. And I'm dealing with the fact that they can't accept the fact they can't drive, and they're demanding the car be put in the driveway, all kinds of stuff. But anyway, going through all that, and then the eye doctor died suddenly, was on the news. He died. Who would have thought that my frail 94-year-old father would outlive his doctor. God's ways are not our ways. So don't go into that. 2 days before, I found out my daughter Christine has been clean for 10 years, relapsed into heroin. And you know how I was last Sunday. I was falling apart. I'll be honest. I was not handling well at all. Could hardly function. Was lying out in the back of the chairs in the Spanish service. Had to leave in the middle of service. I felt so ill. And working with and praying and talking to my daughter, giving her stuff about CR, about Calvary Center, and went to see her. And she asked, "Dad, I need a Bible." Here's your Bible. I prayed and felt electricity going through my body, through her, holding her and cradling her. And she's been going through withdrawals, but so far it's been a week now, and she's doing well. Thanks be to God. She's doing well. She's hanging in there. And she's going to be starting 12 steps this week. I'm taking her to CR Friday, one out in Scottsdale, and so she's on the road. But anyway, I'm just overwhelmed by this stuff. I'm not functioning well. All of you can vouch for that last week. It was not good. And yet, in the middle of all this, I said, "God, Pastor Rick's at a camp. Thanks. Oh, great." And my spy in Illinois that keeps track of my folks, she's on vacation too. So my little spy that reports to me how my folks are doing, she's gone. Pastor Rick and Robin are gone. Great. How am I going to do this, God? And my dear friend Daryl is in the hospital. I'm going, what am I going to do? Well, with about, I don't know how many phone calls I counted, Daryl, we've had some spirit-filled prayers over the phone. But anyway, wherever I went, I said, "God, just use me." And I was sick to my stomach one day, and I tried the honey, I tried the vinegar, but still was not feeling great there, of David. And I needed to go to a luncheon to talk to someone who has brain cancer, to visit with him. As a co-worker, we prayed for Fidel for quite a while. And he had gone to seminary years ago and given that up and become a social worker. He's at this luncheon, and the Lunchbox Cafe, this little hole in the wall in Bethany. I love it, though. So we're there, and all of a sudden, he and I are looking face to face. And I looked at him, I felt the Holy Spirit all over him, that he was going to be with us. And we started talking a little bit, but we had all these social workers, and they came to me and they said, "Well, what did you do for a living before you're a social worker? Like some liberal community organizer?" I go, "No, I was a pastor 25 years. Throw up, say, "God just let my light shine here." Here comes this server, bright eyes, and she's serving me with such love. And as she's serving, I just feel this light in her. And I'm thinking about that, and I ate a little bit and had a lot of leftovers, and I left. And I drove by the same place the next day, and I felt led to go in there. I thought it was because this time I was hungry and had a good appetite. I'm going to try to eat. So it wasn't that. I go in the back room, and I sat in the same seat, and here's that waitress that I'd seen the day before in this room, her and I alone. And she starts talking. Oh, I remember, she can hardly speak English. I can hardly speak Spanish, so it was quite a conversation. But through the gist of it, she goes, "I remember you," and I go, "I remember you too." And then I said, I saw some light in you. She says, "Well, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian." I said, "So am I. In fact, yo soy pastor." Ooh! And I talked about Sublima Iglesia, I can't even say it right, our church in Spanish. Into Spanish either, or technology. And we talked about the light of the Lord. She says, "I've written 5 songs. I don't have a church home." I said, "I don't like to sing in front of people, but I write songs and I just sing them for the Lord. I'm looking for a church home." I wrote down Pastor Rick. I wrote her down, our information, and I said, "I would like to see you Sunday." She says, "There's some shining around you." "Well, you got it too." And then Fidel, the guy we prayed for, he said in an email later, he thanked us for the lunch, he thanked me, and he says, "I've been watching your life 4 years and watching how you're living. I had no idea. I had no clue." And he says, "Let's do this again. I want to talk more." And I'm feeling so weakened because of what's going on. I say, "God, let your light shine, because it certainly isn't me. I'm a cracked pot. I've got so many holes, and it's just, I'm just a mess. And if we just let the light of Jesus shine through us, and no matter what we're going through, He can work through weakness, right? Not our strength. He promises that He specializes in our weakness, not when we come in with all the answers." So having said all that, let your light shine, no matter what. No matter how dark it is, let your light shine. Keep letting it shine, because Friday I probably gave Pastor, I don't know, 15 texts. "Well, this happened, and then this happened, and I went over here, and this person started talking to me, and then the cashier at Fry's says, of, I've been noticing you're a pastor, right? Where's your church? She says, there's something different about you. Anyway, all this was in a day's time. Having said that, let your light shine. Because Jesus said, consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given even more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken. So if you don't use it, you lose it. If you have the Holy Spirit, if you have gifts, you better be using them because God will take them and give them to somebody else. So use your gifts. Do you know that the Muslim people have the religion they have? I forget the Rabbi Zacharias said it. Thousands of people train to try to destroy the Bible. They look for little loopholes in the Bible. Oh, here it says two angels. Here it says four angels. Oh, there's a mistake. And they devote their whole lives to trying to destroy the Bible. They're reading the scriptures in a negative way to find mistakes. And their whole full-time job, thousands and thousands of them, is trying to destroy the credibility of the Bible. Now, that's not going to work. And the rabbi says, where are the Christians? Where are the Christians that are studying their Bible as much as they're studying the Quran? Some of my families that are Muslim, they're going to have Ramadan coming up. You know they fast without food or water 14 hours a day for, I think, almost 29 days? They are dedicated to their religion. I go into their house and they've got their worship service going on all the time. And they're incredibly dedicated. They get work releases to be able to do their fasting. And they pray hours and hours and hours, five times, and on it goes. And I go, where are the Christians? Where's our light shining? We have the truth. We have the risen Christ. We have a religion of grace and not hatred, of love, not killing people. So it's time for us to let our light shine and use what God has given us. Amen? So that's the first part of the message, is the light, and now the light. Because there's one more parable, a couple more parables actually. The growing seed. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it because the harvest has come. This is talking about the kingdom. It's so hard to start churches on our own, right, Pastor? It's hard. We do it God's way, and pastors who have studied this and really look at it have found secrets to the kingdom of God. What's the secret? The power of Jesus Christ, the power of God's Word. If we just sow the Word, we talked about it last Sunday, Pastor Rick, the power's in the seed, the power's in the Word. Just let the Word out, and it'll do it. What Jesus is saying here is we've got these little seeds, right? And I still have with me the packet of seeds from Janet's memorial service somewhere in here. And I can't find it right now, naturally. But it was a reminder that she's in heaven. And those seeds are a reminder that you plant something in the ground, and what comes out, something glorious. We put Janet's body in the ground, and what comes out, something glorious. In heaven, she's in heaven right now. There's a power in the seed of the Word of God. As we just release the seed in jail, what happens to jail? Jail service. It grows, right? You see it at the front, right? You have this unexplainable force and power and presence when you're in the jail service, and you go, wow. And then other people are drawn to it. And then they invite other people, and then they invite other people, and it starts growing and growing all by itself. And Seal and Sandy go back, and they're just like, whoa! And they know it's not them. And when I know it's not me in Spanish, in a jail service. Hey, amen. I'm going, how can this be? How is this done, like Luther asked? When Pastor Rick asked me to do a Spanish service in jail, first of all, I don't want to go to jail, then I don't want to Spanish, at least let me do English. And now, but God's way, now I wouldn't trade it for the world. It's just the most incredible thing I've ever experienced in my whole life, Friday night in jail. And it's God. I know, who would have thought, I can't wait to go to jail Friday night. And I feel like I'm on cloud nine, and then Tuesday with Robert. What does Robert do? He starts a CR group in less than a week's time, Robert and Sarah. He gives a talk on denial. I've read that, I've heard that hundreds of times, but when Robert said it, it's like I'd never heard it before. There's a freshness. It's like, Paul, what you talked about that one sermon of Pastor Rick's, when you needed it most, you heard things that God brought into that message just for you at that particular time. So thank you, Robert. CR is awesome. It's back here. It's back. And the light, when the seed was, he was just throwing out these seeds. He had no idea, except it was working in him at the same time. The seeds start growing and growing and growing. And notice, and Shannon, I heard Shannon, when she was reading this, reading along with Pastor Rick, she said, all by itself, the seed grows. That's true. A farmer does all the planting, but can he make that seed grow? Just put in the right environment, pop it in the ground, and wait. You do nothing. You do what, just go on with your life. And all by itself, that seed grows. The kingdom of God, believers have found, can grow all by itself if you just have these ingredients. The ingredients of loving relationships, biblical, solid leadership, having a vision, staying on God's track, having spiritual gifts of all the people being used, having a focus to people outside of the church, not inside, inside the church. When all these ingredients happen, and you just put a little water and soil and seed, and bam, you've got a church is going to grow all by itself. With the jail, we see it all by itself. What do? We got all these plans and ideas of we should, not us here, but other churches. We got to have committees. We got to have business meetings. How this is going to work? No, just let the seed do the work. And for us to put trust in this seed. Sometimes we don't really trust the seed. We got to try something else, we think, you know. Or in your life, maybe something else will give me a sobriety or help. Mm-mm. Jesus is our higher power, right? He's not only the light, he is the light. The other day, Friday, I went to another CR group, the one that got us, helped us get started a while back. I said, I just need to keep on a roll here, Lord, because I'm just feeling your presence, and I want to go back to what I was doing before recovery that was keeping me on the right track. I don't want to go into worry or anxiety and sick to my stomach again, so I'm looking for the old CR I used to go to. I go into the entrance, they go, you can't go in there. It's been a couple years since I've been back. I go, you can't go in there. Oh, I'm sorry. Renovation. Go this way. What way? Picture. I don't know what way. There's a person with a self-recovery shirt. I go, can you show me where to go? Oh, that way. That way, what? Buckeye? I don't Buckeye to find a place where I'm like, what? No, you go down that way. I don't go to this church. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, so there's a side gate. You have to go through these gates, okay? Then there's a side door. Secret door. I didn't know. So I'm following these people, and all of a sudden they stop. And they're having dinner, but I want to get ready for worship. I said, can I go into worship? Yes. But don't step on the carpet. Don't step on the carpet. What's going on here? Yes, we've got these strips. We're just laying carpet. Don't step on. And I think I'm a member, so they can talk to you this way, right? I'm not a visitor. I go, so I got to step like this. This. I go, on that little triangle. Get it. I turn around and I walk out. This is ridiculous. Is so stupid. Their leader wasn't there, and it was incredible. I go, well, at least it was to me and not some seeker with desperate need for Jesus. You know? But if we just let the seed work and let the environment be nurturing and warm and caring, it'll happen. But if we get in the way of that seed, if we put it in hard ground, don't water it, don't take care of it, and expect it to grow. And that's the same with our hearts. If we expect God to do something for us, and we're not preparing our heart for that rotor tiller of the Holy Spirit, churning, keeping our hearts soft for God, and we just want God to do it all, that's not what it means all by itself. The power's there, but you've got to let it in, right, Daryl? You've got to let it in. And when he lets it in, what happens? When Daryl is in a hospital doing a whole lot better than me, because he's as calm as a cucumber, and talking to the doctors, and you were all by yourself, but you weren't by yourself, right? Yeah, he's comfortable. God was with him. No problem. Exactly. The most important person was with Daryl, and I could feel it over the telephone talking to him. Again, all by itself, the word does work. Well, thanks be to God. It's all him. It's all him. Well, Jesus has another story, because he says, I'm not sure these people are getting it, you know. So he tells another story about the kingdom, about little tiny mustard seeds. And I watched a little video of a Christian showing how tiny mustard seeds are. And he had a few in his hand, and he had the Bible verses about mustard seeds on the screen. And then he showed how big a mustard tree is. Holy cow, it's gigantic. It's a big tree, shrub. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. And he says, again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet, when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. He says, okay, folks, these little seeds, little tiny seeds, insignificant, pop them in the ground, and eventually this big tree where birds can come and find shade and find shelter. Jesus comes. Babe in Bethlehem, grows up in Nazareth, Galilee. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? We'll ask Nathaniel about that. He'll tell you yes. Grows up insignificant, a carpenter's son, not a rabbi, not a PhD, not a reverend doctor. How can this be the Son of God? Humble. And then he went out, he got baptized. And then he went out in the desert full of the Holy Spirit. And for 3 years, Jesus formed his ministry under the Father, right? He drew crowds. But the establishment, government, religious leaders just passed him off. And then, of course, they nailed him to that cross. Well, that's the end of that, they thought. Now we go on. Wrong. 3 days later, he comes out of the grave, out of the tomb, right? He wears the victor's crown. That is a great... And I'm going to tell myself this. I'm going to repeat that verse over and over this week. Every stronghold must come down. You've got to change the thought, because that's another thing. We put evil thoughts in our own head, negative thoughts. It's like pouring weed seeds in your head. You've got to pull those weeds out of your head. I've had to do that and put in new seeds, positive thoughts of God's Word over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, and watch the harvest. I don't know if you know much about alfalfa. But anyway, alfalfa, I used to think it was just weeds. The other day I was in I saw all this green. I thought, oh, it was just a bunch of weeds. How are they so green when it's so hot out? And the Lord told me, those are not weeds. That's precious food for cattle. Like, oh yeah, that's right, alfalfa. The Lord, when people look at our lives, they go, just a bunch of weeds there at Amazing Grace. A bunch of ugly weeds. God says, no. Those aren't weeds. That's a precious harvest. And as the light comes of Jesus Christ, and as the life comes of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, He brings a harvest in our lives, right? And He wants you to go out and make a difference in the lives of other people. What kind of harvest do you have? But it all revolves around the light of Jesus. And without His light, we are nothing. There is a story in Zechariah 2 I want to close with. It says, then I looked up, and there before me was a man with a measuring line in his hand. Where are you going, he said, to measure Jerusalem, to find out how wide and how long it is. And it talks about the measuring of Jerusalem, talks about the clean garments of the high priest, that he had dirty clothes as he tried to measure Jerusalem, measure the church, and try to figure out what God is doing. First he had to take off the clean garments, and then he had this vision. Then the angel who walked with him, Zechariah 4, we returned and wakened me up. As a man wakened from sleep, he says, what do you see? And he says, I see a gold, so listen, I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and seven lights on it with seven channels to the lights. Here's the point. You've got this solid gold lampstand that your light so shine, and it has seven channels for the light with lights. So you've got seven pipes going to this lampstand from this continual flow of oil. So you got perpetual fire going on in the temple of God and the glory of God, being fueled by all this oil, seven pipes going in at the same time, bringing all this oil into the fire to keep the fire burning nice and hot over and over and over. And the point was in this is that when God comes with His light, shining glory, it's like a fire, a fuego, and it just permeates everything. And the thing is, if you turn off those channels, those pipes of the olive oil going into the light, what happens to the light, the lampstand? It goes out. But when you have seven pipes going in at the same time, constantly bringing in that fuel, you have this torch that's blazing hot that brings warmth and life and protection to everybody. When we get away from God's Word and God's presence, turn off and cut off the supply, we have a fuel crisis, an energy crisis, an oil crisis. And then when the bridegroom comes, our lamps aren't burning anymore. And we've lost it, and the fire goes out. Well, if your fire's gone out, may the Lord light the fire again. And may He bring life again, His life, spiritual life. So when you read these stories, these little parables, know that there's a secret inside the kingdom. And the secret is in the power of the seed, which is the Word of God, accompanied with the Holy Spirit. And don't underestimate how God can use you this week, starting in about 10 minutes. In Jesus' name, amen.